Hold still, Ali.
Ow! Come on, Khadija. I have to go.
Just a few more, Ali.
Ow! All right, you can pick the lights for my hair later.
What's your hurry, young man?
Khadija, today's the day.
So let me get this straight. You're not going to be at your shop this season?
That is correct, Paul. You do not mind keeping watch in my absence, do you?
Not at all, but I'm not sure I understand.
Well, Talha, today is the day.
A man stood atop the hill, gazing down at the valley of Mecca. Slowly, he pulled back the cloth covering his face and drew in a deep breath.
Today is the day.
Across the city, the Prophet, peace be upon him, completed his prayer and rose up to face the valley. Allah had commanded him, and now it was time for him to do his part. Abu Bakr approached the Rasul's right, and his younger cousin Ali to his left. The three of them looked over the hundreds of pilgrims spilling into the valley. Today was the day.
We have a great task at hand. I do not know where to even start.
Every important matter that does not begin with the name of Allah is incomplete, the Rasul, peace be upon him, said.
In that case, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
In the name of Allah, the most merciful and kind, you are about to listen to an audio representation of the life of the Prophet Muhammad. It does not replace a thorough studying of his life. Now, sit back and enjoy the show.
Chapter 8, The Grand Fair of Hajj.
Welcome one and all to the annual Hajj pilgrimage. I'm your host from the Quraysh, Nadhl ibn Harith. Please, please, quench your thirst with the Zamzam well, managed by an Abbas ibn Abdul Muttalib.
Once a year, during the sacred month of Dhul-Hijjah, the Hajj pilgrimage brought nearly every tribe from across Arabia, Yamama, Najd, and even distant Yemen to Mecca. Pilgrims, dressed in simple white garments, arrived with their camels, goats, and sheep, ready for the sacred sacrifices. This annual influx was Mecca's lifeline. Thousands of pilgrims filled every rocky crevice, their bags brimming with coins and merchandise to trade and sell.
Welcome, one and all. Please note that while in the holy city, no violence is permitted near the Kaaba. While you are in the state of ihram, do not cut your hair or fingernails, and no hunting until your pilgrimage is complete. You can purchase nightly lodging with any of the 14 great clans of Quraysh. The Banu Hashim offer their lodgings completely free, courtesy of their chief, Abu Talib ibn Abdul Muttalib. And, oh, what's this? Why, it seems the Banu Makhzum are also offering their lodging free this year, sponsored by their chief, Al-Walid ibn Mughira. Excellent, excellent.
The chiefs all stood in their best clothing. Abu Talib and Walid shot daggers at each other out of the corners of their eyes. And Nadr ibn Harith continued,
"We regret to inform you all of a particular circumstance at this year's Hajj. There is a sorcerer in this city that has magic that can incite a man against his brother, his mother, his clan. Please, for your own safety, stay at least 6 bow lengths away from him at all times. We wouldn't want our guests to be enchanted by this man."
Excuse me, did you say a sorcerer?
Do not worry. We advise all pilgrims to exercise caution, and whatever happens, do not listen to you-know-who.
Walid's lip curled into a smug smile, while Abu Talib's hand shook on his cane.
Without further ado, may the gods give their blessings. Akbiru.
And so began the Hajj. Pilgrims started by circling the Kaaba 7 times, some completely naked.
"I must insist, sir. You can't circle the Kaaba in the clothes you've sinned in. You gotta come clean to Allah and his daughters."
"I understand, but what about my wife?"
"Oh yeah, her too. She's gotta be naked, both of you naked. Once you're all pure and free of sin, you can come back here and buy some new clothes."
This can't be right. Does Allah really want us to do this? I'm not sure about this.
Excuse me? We are the Quraysh. We are the people of the sanctuary. It doesn't make sense for you to do your Hajj in any clothing except the ones provided to you by the Quraysh. So let's get stripping. Come on.
My wife will do her pilgrimage at night.
Oh, fine.
After completing 7 circles, the pilgrims would race between the mountains of Safa and Marwa. But one figure stood apart from the bustling crowds. At one of the sanctuary gates, a lone traveler approached, his face mostly concealed, save for his piercing eyes. Without any companions or tribesmen by his side, he paused amidst the commotion of the pilgrimage, before declaring,
I am looking for the one named Muhammad.
Get him out of here this instant!
Immediately, as though rehearsed, several Qurayshi men emerge from between the pilgrims and grab the traveler by his head and neck. After pulling him into an alleyway out of public view, the men beat and pummeled the traveler until he could barely stand.
If you're looking for trouble, boy, I don't recommend you look for it here. Ain't nobody named Muhammad around this city. And if you open your mouth in front of these here pilgrims again, well, Omar,
we shall take care of you, the way a wolf takes care of a lamb.
Utba ibn Rabi'a kicked him once more for good measure. The traveler groaned, clutching his stomach, his brown skin covered in bruises.
You done messed up, didn't you? Huh? You asked about you know who, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. I want to meet Muhammad.
No, you don't. Not if you want to stay alive, that is. Come on, up you go. Name's Abbas.
Pleasure. I thought this was a sanctuary. No violence and all that talk.
Things have changed, stranger. The Quraysh isn't taking kindly to people asking about, you know who. Would have thought you the wiser. It's been the talk throughout the town.
I'm not of the townsfolk.
Ah, a Bedouin, eh? Whereabouts you hail, stranger?
I'm from the Banu Rifa.
Abbas jolted as though someone yanked on invisible reins.
Did you say the Banu Rifa? As in, the Banu Rifa? The most ruthless, sinister, and vile perpetrators of highway robbery and skullduggery this side of the Red Sea? That Banu Rifa?
Did I stutter?
Well, please enjoy your stay here in Mecca, Sayyid. And please remind your most honorable clan that old Abbas helped you out while you were here. Let's get that dust off you. Put in a good word for my caravan, would you?
But...
Farewell. Must be off.
Abbas scurried away. The traveler from Ghifar knew his task was one he had to face alone. Solitude was no stranger to him, for he had always walked his path in isolation.
One way or another, I have to find Muhammad.
The Valley of Mina was only a few miles southeast of Mecca. Throughout the year, it was remarkably unnoteworthy. But during Hajj, Mina became a city of tents. Each tribe would erect their encampment and spend the day worshipping Allah. Navigating the maze of tents, Abu Bakr gave the Prophet, peace be upon him, a brief summary of the tribes around them.
Over here are the tribes from Yemen. Those by that tent are the Hawaza, big tribe. Oh, to the left over there are the tribe of Kindah, Messenger of Allah. They used to have a mighty kingdom.
The Prophet's blessed eyes followed Abu Bakr's hands as he identified each encampment.
Ghatafan, Khuza'a, Banu Bakr, they're all here. Who would you like to speak to?
All of them, the Prophet replied. This was a momentous occasion. For the last year, the Quraysh had done everything in their power to reject and silence his message. But now he had access to every tribe in the Arabian Peninsula.
I don't get it. Why do you want other tribes to become Muslim? We haven't even gotten the Quraysh to accept Islam yet.
Prophets before me were sent to their own people, whereas I have been sent to all of mankind, the Prophet, peace be upon him, said. The Quraysh had rejected his message. But his message was not just for the Quraysh. the Rasul, peace be upon him, noticed a father with his young son erecting a tent. He approached them.
Pull your end tighter, son. Oh, greetings, stranger. I see you're not wearing your ihram. You must be from the Quraysh, am I right?
I am. I am the messenger of Allah. I have been sent by Allah to advise you to worship him alone, the Prophet said politely.
A messenger? Allah sent you? Well, that's quite a tale. My son and I worship all the gods of this land.
I have been commanded to worship Allah alone and not associate any partners with him. And to... The Prophet, peace be upon him, was interrupted by a rock that was flung at his back.
Shoo! Away with you!
Abu Lahab aimed another rock at the Prophet, peace be upon him. His beard was braided and oiled, and he was wearing his most expensive Adani cloak. But for some reason, he appeared uglier than ever.
Sayyid Abu Lahab, he wasn't bothering none, we were just chatting.
No, no! Don't listen to him! He wants you to abandon Alat and Uzza! Do not listen to him!
The Prophet, peace be upon him, rubbed his back in pain. Abu Bakr and Ali pulled him away.
Come on, let's go.
Over the next few days, the Prophet, peace be upon him, and Abu Bakr went from Mina to Arafah and then Muzdalifah, following the pilgrims wherever they went, trying their best to speak to anyone about Islam. This wasn't an easy task. Not only did Abu Lahab chase them relentlessly,
"Don't listen to this man! He's crazy!"
The Quraysh had preemptively told all the Arabs that Muhammad was an insane sorcerer.
Keep on that path. Should take you to the fairgrounds. Don't forget to cover your ears if you see Muhammad coming on by.
Sometimes, the Prophet, peace be upon him, was harassed and manhandled by the Quraysh if he drew a crowd. Still, he would endeavor, crying out, "O people, say Allah is one, and you will be victorious. O people, say Allah is one, and you will be vic..."
Attention, everyone! The belly dancing show will now begin!
The people surrounded Nadir and his two harlots, who were singing and dancing in inappropriate clothing.
More music will be performed all day outside Mount Arafah, and then stories by yours truly from the great myths of Persia. Ants, you worthless curls, shake your hips. Ha ha! Free drinks and music and girls, courtesy of Nadir ibn Hal.
Ali, close your eyes.
Ew! I thought people came to Hajj to get rid of their sins.
The Prophet, peace be upon him, turned and plugged his ears to drown out the music. Patience. This was going to take a lot of patience. The traveler from Ghifar dragged himself to the Zamzam well. He all but dumped himself into the water in his exhaustion. He rinsed the blood from his arms and face, the day's struggles still fresh in his mind. He had spent hours searching for the Prophet, but each time he inquired about Muhammad, the Quraysh attacked him, desperate to silence his questions. As he watched the crimson swirls blend into the Zamzam water, he realized he was likely bloodier than the sacrificial stones of the idols. But he didn't care. Exhausted, he laid down beside the Kaaba.
Oh Allah, I've been searching for this man that declares that you are one. My brother told me he has high moral character, something my people lack. I don't know where this man is, Allah, but I'll stay by your sacred home until I find him.
He curled up beneath the drapes of the Kaaba, seeking refuge in its sacred shadow, and drifted into a deep sleep. When Hajj rituals were completed on the 10th of the month, the pilgrims shaved their heads and wore the brand new garments conveniently sold to them by the Quraysh. Hundreds of animals were slaughtered in the names of the idols. Arabs had very complicated sacrifice rituals. For example, a Bahira was a female camel whose milk was spared for the idols and no one was allowed to milk it. A Sa'iba, a female camel let loose for free pasture for the idols, and nothing was allowed to be carried on it. Then there were the Hami animals, male animals that were forbidden to be ridden on because, of course, they belonged to the idols. After sacrificing and releasing the animals, the thousands of visitors would visit the grand fair.
Welcome to Dhul-Majaz.
Dhul-Majaz, the prime location for trading, shopping, performances, and competitions. The Prophet, peace be upon him's uncle, Hamza, excelled at jousting and equestrian sports.
Which one of you wants to challenge me now?
Dhul-Majaz echoed with the legendary poems of Antara and Umru'ul Qais, and of course, Abbas's signature marketing.
Low interest loans, special offer for this year's pilgrim.
At the center of Dhul-Majaz, the Prophet, peace be upon him, was in deep conversation with a group of pilgrims. It wasn't going well, though. The tribe was already turning to leave. O Banu Abdullah, Allah has given your father a noble name, the Prophet cried, but they were already gone.
Well, that's the Banu Abdullah off the list, just like everyone else.
Do not despair, Messenger of Allah. If this fair yields poor results, there's still Suq Aqab and Dhul Mijana.
At that moment, the Prophet's cousin, Mughira ibn Harith, walked by, deliberately avoiding any eye contact and reciting provocative poetry. The Prophet, peace be upon him, was unsure how to respond to such a betrayal, other than to seek strength in Allah. The whole Hajj was not going the way he had hoped.
Whoa, look at that.
The Prophet, peace be upon him, turned to see a throng of people eagerly following a man who appeared to be composed entirely of muscle. The shirtless man's chest seemed chiseled from stone, with biceps bulging from his massive arms. His long hair was messy and damp with sweat.
Ah, that is Rukan, professional wrestler. I hear he comes to these fairs just to compete.
That's Rukana? Zubair told me about him. He's supposed to be the best wrestler of all the Arabs.
The Prophet, peace be upon him, studied the wrestler named Rukana. He walked around proudly as the paparazzi fought to be in his shadow.
I must say, that was a most excellent tussle. A hard-earned victory indeed.
Rukana doesn't work hard. Rukana wins.
Rukana, Rukana! Can we be like you when we grow up?
No.
Aww, why?
There is only one Rukana, boy. Never another.
With purpose in his stride, the Prophet, peace be upon him, began walking towards Rukana, his eyes fixed on the wrestler.
Rasulullah?
The entourage stopped in front of the Prophet, peace be upon him, and gave him dirty looks.
Who is this little man that stands before the great Rukana?
I'm sorry, sir. It's Muhammad. He's a little messed up in the head. I shall remove him from your presence.
The Prophet, peace be upon him, ignored Utbah ibn Rabi'ah. O Rukana, why do you not fear Allah and answer what I am calling you to? He said.
It's the magic man, eh? Been hearing all about you and your magic words. Rukana does not like your magic words. But Rukana's mother did not raise no fool.
He struck a pose, flexing his arms.
If I knew you to be truthful, Rukana would follow you.
The Prophet, peace be upon him, smiled. If I wrestled you, would you believe me? The Prophet asked.
You wrestle me?
Yes, the Prophet, peace be upon him, responded.
Nobody has ever beaten the great Rukana before. If you think you have the style and the skill, well, not only will I believe you, but I'll throw in 100 goats as well.
Then come on, let us wrestle, the Prophet, peace be upon him, exclaimed.
Let's go! Rukana's gonna squash Muhammad like a bug!
Rasulullah!
With the crowd in eager pursuit, the Rasul, peace be upon him, followed Rukana to the wrestling arena, which was nothing more than an oval drawn in the dirt.
Gather, everyone. Gather, O sons of Adnan.
We got ourselves a traditional Arab beatdown.
Oh, Ya Rasulullah, are you sure about this? I know you're the messenger of Allah, but that's Rukana. He has boulders for arms.
But the Rasul, peace be upon him, seemed totally unafraid as he stepped into the oval to face the great wrestler.
Rasulullah, Rukana has never been beaten before.
Welcome, O sons of Adnan. I am your host, Nobid ibn Harith.
Make sure to go low and watch out for his arm loss and his leg loss. Actually, just watch out for all of them.
10 dirhams says Muhammad goes down before Rukana even breaks a sweat.
20 dirhams says Rukana kills him.
In the left side, the mightiest man of muscle, the fearless giant, the undefeated champion of Mecca, Rukana. And in the right side, Muhammad.
Yeah, Muhammad! Woo! Go, Muhammad!
Shut up, kid!
Ow!
The Prophet, peace be upon him, gently removed his cloak. His bare chest had a faint scar running vertically down his abdomen. Rukana took a quick gulp of alcohol from a wineskin before squaring up against the Prophet, peace be upon him.
Last chance, magic man. Rukana is blessed by the daughters of Allah, Lat and Uzza.
Allah has no offspring, the Prophet, peace be upon him, responded.
Suit yourself, it's your janazah, magic man.
Fight!
Rukana sprang forward from the left side of the oval, hollering like a madman. The Prophet, peace be upon him, gently put his palm out in front of him. The moment it made contact with Rukana's chest, the raging bull came to an abrupt halt. The Prophet, peace be upon him, put one hand on Rukana's back and ever so gently began to push the wrestler to the ground. It was a slow and peaceful affair. Rukana's face was frozen in a strange daze. Then, the Prophet, peace be upon him, delicately put Rukana down, like a mother tucking in her children for sleep. His back was now fully on the ground.
Pin! And, the winner is Muhammad.
The Prophet, peace be upon him, smiled pleasantly. Rukana's head turned in every direction.
What? Hey, what happened? Did I lose? Rukana doesn't lose! Rukana doesn't lose!
Well, that right there ain't right.
Nadir! Nadir!
Would you like a rematch?
Yes, I want a freaking rematch! That didn't count! I don't even know what happened!
The two of them went back to their sides of the oval.
On the left side, we have Rukana. On the right side, Keda Keda Keda. Fight!
Rukana charged once more. But within a few seconds, he was once again being cradled slowly to the ground.
Pin!
What? How?
The winner is,
rematch! I want a rematch!
They returned to their sides.
Hey, Rukana, you're getting pummeled over there. I'm in the hole for 30
In the left side.
Just start the bloody fight, you moron!
Rukana charged once again, his eyes on fire. The Prophet, peace be upon him, smiled politely and accepted him into his warm embrace. For a third time, the Prophet gently put Rukana to rest onto the dirt.
All right. This rigged fight is over. Everybody get out of here.
That was crazy. Abu Bakr, you can open your eyes. The Rasul won like 3 times.
Muhammad, what are you playing at? You beat me.
The Prophet, peace be upon him, put his cloak back on. Yes, you can keep the goats, he said with a sly smile.
Oh, Banu Abdul Manaf. I have never seen a more powerful sorcerer in my life.
As the crowd dispersed, Rukana sat on the dirt. He seemed to be questioning his very existence.
Nobody has ever beaten me before. It's amazing.
The Rasul, peace be upon him, approached the defeated wrestler. If you want, I can show you something even more amazing, the Rasul, peace be upon him, said.
And what's that?
The Prophet, peace be upon him, pointed at a young acacia tree, sprouting a few feet out of the ground. "Come," the Prophet commanded. The tree sprang to life, its roots crawling on the dirt like spider legs. The tree wriggled itself to the Prophet, peace be upon him. It looked absolutely ridiculous. The Prophet pointed to where it had come from and said, "Go." And like a dog heeding its master's call, the acacia tree crawled back across the dirt to its original position and dug its roots into the earth. The Prophet, peace be upon him, had never seen someone run so fast before. The traveler took another long gulp of Zemzem. If it wasn't for this well, he would have died a long time ago. For the last couple of days, he had consumed nothing but its precious water. Nobody in Mecca would go near him, much less offer him food. He had no luck finding the new prophet, and dared not inquire anyone for fear of being attacked again. He knew not who was friend or foe. He walked in the direction of the Kaaba, ready for another night of sleeping on the ground. Suddenly, he saw a young boy, probably around 12 years old, sitting on the hijr, dangling his skinny shins over the low wall.
Hi.
Hello.
You must be a stranger.
Yeah, that's right.
All right then, let's go.
The traveler hesitated. The boy did not look like a threat, but he was a little confused about what this kid wanted.
Well, come on. You don't want to sleep on the ground, do you?
He hesitated one last time before following the boy. They walked together, neither asking the other any questions, until they got to a storefront with a green pavilion of silk. The boy pulled away the window's curtain.
Aunt Khadija, any of the guest houses open?
Yes, the one by Hanna's house is free.
Thanks.
The traveler was led to a humble mud house. The floor had simple straw cushions, and the moonlight spilled in through the misshapen windows. The boy returned a few moments later with a tray of food.
Bread and vinegar?
Yeah, vinegar is an excellent condiment.
He smelt the bread.
Don't worry, it's not poison.
He ate ravenously. If this boy meant him any harm, now would be as good a time as any for him to attack. But he just sat on the windowsill, with his knees to his chest, and his bare feet resting on either side of the window.
Sounds like a party out there.
It's not a party.
It's one of those girl burials, isn't it? Hey, kid. Can I ask you something? Why are you helping me?
Is it not from noble character to help a traveler?
I suppose.
The traveler lay down on the straw cushion, with his hands behind his head.
How come you didn't come with anyone? Usually entire tribes come to Mecca.
I don't really have any friends. If I'm being honest, I don't really fit in with my tribe. Don't really agree with what they do.
I understand.
His eyes darted towards the light of the girl burial. The boy had the expression and weight of someone much older than him.
Do you ever feel like your people just don't understand?
Sometimes I feel like nobody understands. I mean, I look out there with all those drinkers, cheaters and idol worshippers, and I think, man, they're so lost. But then I think, maybe, just maybe, there's someone decent among them. And then I think, maybe they're not so bad.
Why do you say that?
They raised you, and you're not that bad.
The two of them looked at each other. As the traveler slipped into sleep, he thought he saw the boy smile ever so slightly.
Away, 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 away! In the name of God, I say away! I address the evil spirit inside! Leave this body and go away! Hey, sir, I have to ask. Are you still possessed by Jin? Ah, I declare this man cured! Possessed by Jin, I shall remove all evil spirits. Demar Dalazdi, the greatest exorcist in the world.
The caravan caretaker, Abu Sufyan, approached the exorcist.
My, that was quite a show.
Abu Sufyan, how are you, man? You are looking pale. You spending too much time with the Romans, getting that flower skin.
I don't think that's how it works.
Wait, wait! I detect a djinn. It is here among us.
What? Where? Ow!
I got you!
Yes, you did.
Hey, I have to ask. What in the name of Thabit's evil armpit is going on in this city? I've seen some crazy in my life, but this is crazier than Layla's lover.
Well, Demed, it's an unfortunate situation. But there's a man here in Mecca that's possessed by Jin. He's spreading magic everywhere he goes. He tears families apart with his words and magic.
Possessed? Possessed? Man, have you lost your liver?
I haven't lost my liver.
I am an exorcist. I could have cured this man if you had just told me. What is the poor fellow's name?
Muhammad, but...
Oh, yes. I know him. Al-Sadiq Al-Amin.
Demad, his magic is a little more potent than what you're used to.
Nonsense, man. I will cure him for you.
The Prophet, peace be upon him, was at peace, quietly whispering remembrance of Allah. He was quite surprised to see the sight of the exorcist bounding up the hill with his long staff.
Are you Muhammad?
I am, the Prophet said. The exorcist sat down cross-legged in front of him.
My name is Demad. I am from Azd. I specialize in removing evil spirits from afflicted people. I can heal those who are under the influence of spells, and it is Allah who cures whoever he wishes at my hand. Would you like me to heal you?
The Prophet, peace be upon him, smiled gently and began speaking. All praises are due to Allah. We thank him and seek his assistance and ask for his forgiveness. Whoever Allah guides, there is no misguidance for him. And whoever is misguided, then there is none to guide him. And I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, singular, no partners for him. And Muhammad is his servant and messenger. As for what follows...
Wait! What is this?
Dlimed almost put a hand on the Prophet's mouth. His eyes were wide.
Repeat everything you just said.
The Prophet, peace be upon him, again said, All praises are due to Allah. We thank him and seek his assistance and ask for his forgiveness. Whoever Allah guides, there is no misguidance for him. And whoever is misguided, then there is none to guide him. As for what follows. But the Prophet, peace be upon him, did not get a chance to even say what followed. Dlimed had bent closer to him with a look of awe.
By Allah! I cannot believe it! Repeat it again!
The Prophet, peace be upon him, repeated it a third time.
I have heard the words of soothsayers, and the words of magicians, and the words of poets. But I have never heard such words as yours. And they reach the depth of eloquence. Bring forth your hand, so I may pledge my allegiance to you.
And the allegiance of your people? The Rasul, peace be upon him, asked.
Yes, messenger of Allah, from my people as well.
Dlimed al-Azdi took the Prophet's hand and took his shahada. Mecca was reverting back to status quo. The multitude of tribes were setting off for their respective lands, the recently shaven pilgrims mounting their stalked camels. And as the Hajj season was coming to an end, two young ladies decided to give one final goodbye to the idols of Isaf and Naila.
Oh, blessed one, I bring you gifts to support your forbidden love.
Legend had it that the two had been secret lovers and agreed to meet at the Kaaba to profess their love and engage in intimacy, and had been turned to stone as a punishment. But now they were worshipped as deities.
Though your romance was cut short, love transcends all bounds. And by the grace of the gods, one day the two of you will welcome each other into the warm embrace of—
Oh, for God's sake! Why don't you make them make out with each other?
The women ran off, wailing in frustration. The traveler shook his head in disgust.
Love transcends all bounds.
Stupid. They're just statues, they can't hear you, and what are they going to do with your stupid little gifts anyway?
He groaned and leaned his back against the Zemzem well's rock wall. He had actually gained weight from drinking its water.
Isn't it time for a traveler to know his destination?
Oh, hey kid.
Hey stranger, still haven't figured out where you're going? Or perhaps you're looking for someone.
Alright kid, I see you. Can you keep a secret?
It's the only thing I can keep.
It's reached us that a man has emerged from this city and claims he is a prophet. I sent my brother to get some information, but he didn't give me enough. So, I decided to come here myself.
Ali smiled.
I knew it. You're in luck. I was just on my way to see him now.
You were?
Yeah, follow me. I'll take you to him. If I see someone who's trouble, I'll bend over to fix my shoe strap, and that's your sign to go away.
Got it.
My name's Ali, by the way.
Abu Dhab. Nice to meet you.
He said the most vile and crude things about our god.
I understand, ma'am, but we do not know who this man is.
If I find out he is one of your followers, I'm complaining to the chiefs. Let's go.
Do not despair, Messenger of Allah. There will be other fairs in the future. Perhaps Rukana will come to his senses, and the Maldu will return to his people and... Ali, who is your friend?
Someone who wants to meet the Rasul.
Abu Dhar al-Ghifari stepped inside and sat in front of the Rasul, peace be upon him. After weeks of searching, a lifetime of yearning, there he was. Then, without anyone teaching him or ever hearing it before in his life, he said,
Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
The Prophet, peace be upon him, smiled and responded to his salam. And upon you, the peace and mercy of Allah and his blessings.
My name is Abu Dhar. I am from the Banu Ghifar.
The Prophet, peace be upon him, put a hand to his forehead in shock.
The Banu Ghifar? The highway robbers?
Abu Dhar felt embarrassed and tried to remove the Prophet's hand, but Abu Bakr stopped him.
Please, I am not like my people. I don't rob or kill anyone. My whole life, I've believed in one God. And I want to hear your message. I want you to present Islam to me.
The Prophet's hand descended. His shock expression was replaced with a smile. Allah had brought this man out of all the tribes in Arabia to meet him. The Prophet, peace be upon him, couldn't think of anything to say other than, Allahu Akbar.
Thank you. We hope to see you at next year's Hajj. May the gods bless you. Farewell. Ugh. Was that the last one? I am tired of smiling at all of these vagabonds.
Well, all things considered, I think we did pretty good. None of the tribes accepted the local lunatic, except that exorcist, but I've always suspected he was crazy.
Ugh. So have I.
All in all, I don't think a single Arab outside of Mecca is ever going to take Islam seriously again.
Attention, people of Mecca! I would like to announce that I have accepted the religion of Muhammad. There is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah.
Get him!
Abu Dhar al-Ghifari put his hands on his hips and smiled as the army charged at him.
Come on! Come get it! Come get it, you ugly infidels!
I warned you!
I'm gonna turn you inside out!
He knew they were going to hurt him, but he didn't care. He wanted to defy them, to spite them. He had always been a loner, a nation unto himself, and he was content to stand against the entire world as a believer in one God.
You want to join his religion? How about I join my boot with your face?
Get off of him! Leave him alone! He's from the Banu Kifar! He's Kifar to you idiots!
I don't care if he's from the moon! He's provoking us!
What's gonna happen to your caravans if you kill one of them, huh? You think those thieves are gonna let you pass by them to Sham without slicing off a few of your heads?
Abu Jahl gave Abbas a greasy look.
Fine, but tell him not to go screaming about his religion anymore!
Boy, your head is thicker than a camel hump in a tar pit. I don't know what you were thinking, but I just saved your life back there.
Did you see how mad they got?
Look at me. Those folks were a bow's length away from killing you for that stunt. You will not do that again.
The next day, Abu Dharr did it again.
There is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah!
You cheeky ingrate!
Get off of him! You morons are going to ruin our trade routes! Come on, get out of here, you cheeky pile of dung! You know what, boy? I give up with you. You want to kill yourself just to spite him? Be my guest. No one ever listens to old Abbas. No.
The Prophet, peace be upon him, walked over to the bruised and bloody convert. Did I not tell you not to announce your acceptance of Islam? He asked.
Oh, Messenger of Allah, it was a need I felt in my soul, and I had to fulfill it.
Go to your people, he commanded, and tell them what you have seen and heard. Invite them to Allah. Maybe Allah will bring them good through you and reward you through them. And when you hear that I have come out in the open, then come and find me.
Whatever you say, Ya Rasulullah, thank you for everything. I will find you again. I will tell everyone about you, even if I have to do it alone. One day, Rasulullah, I know even my people will be Muslim.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
You're listening to The Sound of Seerah, brought to you by Islam by Touch.